Welcome to the online service of worship for Knox United Church Nepean for October 25th. We hope you have a copy of the order of service, which will allow you to participate in the responses and the hymns. Today we have Allison and Alan Bell to contribute with reading and singing. Thank you both for helping lead the service. Please have a look at the newsletter each week to see our good news. Don't hesitate to contact the office with your own good news listings. Prayer requests are also included in the newsletter. We encourage you to add your own prayer requests by contacting the church office. Please check to see who is requesting prayer and include them in your own thoughts and prayers. One particular piece of good news to spread around is that Knox will be having a live in-person service of worship on November the 8th, Remembrance Sunday. People who wish to attend should register with the church office in advance. We have a safety plan that will be in effect. You can find out more about that from the church office or on our website, knoxnepean.ca. If you would like to send us good news or prayer requests, or receive the orders of service for future Sundays, or to register for the service, please contact the church office at 613-829-2266 or office@knoxnepean.ca. Our treasurer, Jim Stanish, has some thanks to share.
Thank you to those who contribute through PAR and to those who support us by giving through electronic transfers and checks. You are making it possible for Knox to keep doing all its important work, including these podcasts.
These are all the announcements for today. Let us prepare for worship. Our call to worship is printed in the order of service, and it is responsive. We are called to love God
with a love that goes to our core.
We are called to love our neighbors
as much as we love ourselves.
Our fearful world needs this love right now.
At God's call, we come together in spirit.
May God's perfect gift of love drive out our fear.
Let us share God's love with everyone.
Let us worship God. Our opening prayer is a unison prayer. It is also printed in our order of service. Let us pray together. Holy One, you planted us by living water, that we might be rooted in righteousness. You call us to be holy as you are holy. Assured of your love, help us to cast aside all fear, that we may love our neighbors as ourselves. Amen. Our opening hymn is taken from the More Voices hymn book, number 1, Let Us Build a House, otherwise known as All Are Welcome.
Let us build a house where love can dwell, and all can safely live. A place where saints and children tell how hearts learn to symbol of God's grace. Here as one we claim the faith of Jesus. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. Let us be where love is found in water, wine, and wheat. A banquet hall on holy ground where peace and justice meet. Here the love of God through Jesus is revealed in time and space. As we share in Christ the build a house where hands will reach beyond the wood and stone to heal and strengthen, serve and teach, and live the word they've known. Build of outcast and the stranger, bear the image of God's face. Let us bring songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place.
Our responsive psalm for today is Psalm number 1. You can find this in Voices United at number 724. We're going to be singing the refrain, and so we will rehearse it before we begin. Blessed are those who do not follow the counsel of the wicked, nor linger in the way of the sinners, or sit down among those who mock.
But their delight is in the law of God, and on that law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted beside streams of water, yielding their fruit in due season.
Their leaves do not wither, and whatever they produce shall prosper.
As for the wicked, it is not so with them.
But they are like the chaff, driven away by the wind.
Therefore the wicked shall not be able to stand when judgment comes, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous.
For God watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Blessed are those who follow the
First lesson is from Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 to 2 and 15 to 18. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the people of Israel, and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy.' You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate in your heart any one of your kin. You shall reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord."
The second lesson is from the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 46. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him,
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them this question. What do you think of the Messiah? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David, by the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If David thus calls him Lord, how can he be his son? No one was able to give him an answer, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. Our lessons from the lectionary this week include a series of challenging questions posed to Jesus. Actually, that's been the case over several weeks. Today's lesson is presented by Matthew as the very last one, not only because it can be called the most significant, but because Jesus ends it by posing a return question which his challengers can't answer, and so they stop challenging him. In 2018, after the bombing of a synagogue in Philadelphia, Lori and I went to a Sabbath service at Beit Tikva, an Orthodox synagogue in this neighborhood. After the service, we chatted with the man who had been assigned to be our guide for the service, and we got into a discussion with him about this very passage of Matthew. He became quite excited as he identified the first part as the Shema Yisrael, a prayer that is to be recited twice a day by adults at bedtime for children. There are records of people who have died with these as their last words, going all the way back to the time of Roman persecution, up to this century, when an Israeli soldier shouted these words out as he threw himself on a live hand grenade, saving his companions at the cost of his own life. This is something that would have been very much part of Jesus' upbringing, as a daily living out of the commandment that defined what it meant to be Jewish. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. That's Deuteronomy 6:4. And then Jesus continued with 6:5, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and strength. Now, there's actually a bit of Greek interpolation going on here, translation you could call it. The original Hebrew didn't have a separate word for mind, and so you don't find it there in Deuteronomy. But, you know, their perspective was that heart and soul covered the mind, but the Greeks believed there was a distinction. So in Greek, which is the language of the New Testament, the word mind has been added. So Jesus took the Shema and did exactly and explicitly what was often understood implicitly. When you read the first verse of something, what follows is understood to be included. So he included out loud the meaning of what followed. What Jesus did there would have satisfied his hearers very well. There'd be nobody who could object to his statement that this was the most important commandment. After all, it's so central that they were instructed in Deuteronomy to pray it twice a day for their whole adult lives, to write it on the doorposts, to bind it to their hands and to their foreheads. That's how central this was. The second commandment, though, sets Jesus apart. We read earlier in our service where he got it from, in the book of Leviticus. It's the last phrase in a longer passage that deals with how we are to treat each other. A passage that calls for unbiased justice, that emphasizes a peaceable and loving relationship with our neighbors. The commandment to love our neighbors as ourselves looks like it is basically a summary of everything that has come before. When our guide at the synagogue heard me say that Jesus had said that this was the second most important commandment, that he'd put the two side by side, it made no sense to him. He understood this passage of Leviticus to be amongst the commandments that were, for lack of a better word, aspirational. You know, something that you try for, of course, something that you really want very badly to achieve. It's part of the ideal to which God calls us. But it's not one of the central commandments, he said. Less important than the Ten Commandments, and certainly not as vital as the Shema. I have no doubt that our guide's interpretation would have been shared by the majority of the people who were listening to Jesus at the time. Jesus was staking out a particular position here, and it set him apart from other teachers. He was declaring that his understanding of Judaism would focus in this manner, the law of love, as the Apostle Paul would later call it. It's a challenging position to take. Now, of course, with a traditional understanding of what's a commandment, it is possible to have different interpretations. Seminaries would be really boring places if it weren't possible to argue about fine points and this interpretation versus that one. But, you know, at base, a commandment is a rule. And in the end, it should be possible to measure them, to see if you measure up, to know if you've broken the commandment or not. But love? Love is a living thing. It can't be measured by a set of rules. It is measured instead by the well-being of somebody else. It is about relationship, not about legality. What Jesus did here was to establish himself as a teacher who was pointing to a new focus on the law, embracing a way of fulfilling the law that demanded a personal relationship, first with God, and then with others around us. But in both cases, drawing us beyond our own needs and wants, requiring us to look outside ourselves all the time. This is almost like a definition of the opposite of narcissism. Jesus is telling us that God wants us to live for God and for others, not to live according to the rules, but to pay attention, to care, to notice what is needed, even when that sometimes includes setting boundaries, as we can see from our Leviticus reading. It's not all about giving, sometimes it's about stopping, but that's all part of love. It's complex. It is a call to develop people skills ahead of legal skills. We haven't always gotten it right. The church over time has created elaborate rules about our faith, creeds that you have to embrace or perhaps be burned at stake, days when you have to do this or avoid doing that, things you should wear to church or things you should never wear to church. Some of those things we've relaxed over time. It's a lot more relaxed about what you wear to church than when I was a child. And some of those things have been overturned rather more violently. And as these things were happening, these changes and the things leading up to the changes, it might be fair to ask, where was the love? Where was the love when people were being oppressed, even burned at the stake? And where was the love when they were being liberated by the sword? The way Jesus has called us to be with God is founded in the laws of Moses, and it is shaped by Jesus' particular interpretation, and it is challenging. Rules can seem an awful lot easier. I mean, often we really like having a checklist, because then you know when you're finished, or reference charts, policies that are clearly laid out. And even when the rules start to get more complex, they can still sometimes seem safer than the uncharted waters of love. but it is love to which we are called. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lists just won't work. Rules can perhaps point us to the basics, but we can't stop there. To truly follow our calling, we have to truly love. What Jesus has done is to free us from the law by giving us the most challenging calling of all, the call of love. May God, whose perfect love casts out all fear, show us how to be the loving people this world needs, the loving people we are called to become. Amen. Our next hymn can be found in Voices United number 372 and also printed in the order of service, Though I May Speak. Let us continue now with our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, which will conclude with the sharing of the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. God of love, we say that name, but we don't always really grasp what it means for our lives. Because if you are the God of love and we are the people of God, then we must become people of love. Help us to do that. Help us to do that no matter what the situation. We live in these days of COVID. We live in days of political uncertainty and unrest. We live in days where it seems to be so easy for people to point fingers, to lay blame, and particularly to cast hatred on identifiable groups and minorities and anybody they feel like might be a good target. That is not love. That is, in many ways, the opposite of love. And so we ask for your help. Sometimes a lot of people in the world will look at love and see it as a soft thing, a weak thing. But your call to us to be loving in a difficult time requires strength, requires courage. So make us courageous, we pray. Give us the strength we need. Help us to be loving in a time when people are disconnected and cut off, in a time when people feel alone and unloved. And show us how to love in a way that keeps people safe, because through love we want that for them, but also keeps everyone connected so that we may reach out in ways that are respectful and safe and helpful and particularly that are loving, so that we don't lose anybody, that we maintain connections, contacts, bonds of love with those around us. Help us to make this real, loving God, and keep us safe through these times of difficulty and fear, through these times when we worry about one overwhelming medical problem while at the same time facing others along the way. And make us wise in our loving, in our sharing, in our reaching out. Help us to see what's best and know what's best. And help us to keep ourselves disciplined in a way that allows us to be safe and allows others to be safe. And let that concern be very strong in our hearts, not only for ourselves, but for all. Help us in this. Lead us in this day by day, because often we feel confused, we feel lost, we feel frustrated, and we really need your guidance. So guide us, we pray. Help us as we prepare for our first indoor service together in months. Continue to show us, as you have been showing us for a long time, how we may be safely together. And protect us when we do gather, so that your love keeps us safe. Gracious God, there are a lot of people that we do love, and many of them are in our hearts because we're concerned for them. We're concerned because of the challenges they face and the situations that are in their lives. In this time of silence, we will lift them up to you. We pray that you would hear our prayers. We thank you, loving God, for the knowledge that you are able to discern our inmost thoughts and desires. And we continue to pray in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is once again from the More Voices hymn book, number 145, Draw the Circle Wide, and the words are printed in the order of service.
Held forever in God's creation.
circle wide. Let the dreams we dream be larger than we've ever dreamed before. Let the dream of Christ be in us, open every door. Draw the circle wide, draw it wider still.
Go now in peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of you, this day and forevermore.